so we're holding by on some chesamad aleph by the Mishnah. Some chesamad aleph, the Mishnah. Okay. So we've been discussing in this parak so far about the bringing of the korban ha'omer, and we went through the whole procedure of how they harvested and brought it. So now, what happens once the omer is brought? Mishnah says, "Mishakara va'omer." Once the korban ha'omer is brought, "Hoter chadash miyad." Right away at that point, chadash, the new grain crop from that year, becomes mutter.
When that's makabel, right?
Once it's brought, once it's offered. What?
Is enters the best
on Easter? Once it's offered on the kermis, if it is offered on the mizbeach, the pastures.
They take a kermis
and offer it on the mizbeach, and the rest of the kohenim. Yeah, the rest of the kohenim eat the rest of it. Yeah. So huta chodesh miyad, that year's new crop of grain becomes mutter to eat. We're going to discuss later on. We're going to discuss in the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it that for this purpose, the new crop is anything that didn't take root before the Omer was brought, is considered anything that did take root before that is this year's grain crop and becomes mutter from the Omer, even though it's harvested later in the year. When it starts taking root, we'll discuss then how many days before Pesach it has to be planted in order for it to take root. But in other words, if you had grain that was planted in Cheshvan or Kislev or even in Shvat or Adar or whatever, or even early Nisan, it'll have taken root by the time the Omer comes, and therefore, whenever it gets harvested, it can be sometime in the spring or whatever.
It
takes a couple of months for wheat to grow. It depends on the strain of wheat or whatever. Yeah. Then you have, on the other hand, if it only took root after the Omer, then you have to wait till next year's Omer for it to be mutter. So we'll deal with that later on. Anyway, but at this point, chodosh becomes mutter. Or let's say for example, to take a simple example, in those days, the typical thing, or even nowadays to a certain extent, the typical thing is that you plant. You often plant wheat in Cheshvan Kislev time, and you harvest it around Adar. So you plant it then, and it stays in the ground over the winter. And you harvest it around Adar Nisan time. So therefore, from when you harvested it in Adar or Nisan or whatever it is, you weren't able to eat it at that point until the Omer is brought. That's a Zayin Nisan, then you can eat it. People who live far away from Yerushalayim and they have no way of knowing yet what time the Omer has been brought, they're allowed to eat it any time after Chatzos, after midday on Tzayin Nisan, for reasons that we'll say in the Gemara. So if you live in Yerushalayim, you know when the Omer is brought, and then at that point it becomes mutter. If you live outside Yerushalayim, what?
It's announced when the Omer is brought?
Yeah, and if you're in Yerushalayim, it's easy enough to find out. You go to the Beis Hamikdash and you ask, yeah. But if you live far away, you don't know, so then you have to wait until Chatzos. Obviously, when we say Chatzos, we mean local Yerushalayim time. Obviously, it would be a different time where you're located, but whatever. Okay. This is all when the Beis Hamikdash was standing. Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the second Beis Hamikdash, that is, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Sheyeheyon Henef Kuloi Osir. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a takana that the entire day when the Omer is supposed to be waived, meaning Tetzayin Nisan, should all be also to eat Chodesh. So you're not allowed to eat Chodesh, according to his takana, the entire Tetzayin Nisan.
Why?
Because we'll see in the Gemara why. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, why do we need a takana of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai for that? The Haloi Minat Torah Hu Osir. It's actually Osir Minat Torah. Shenemar Ad Etzem Ayem Azeh, because the pasuk says that you're not allowed to eat Chodosh until this actual day, and Rabbi Yehuda understands that the word Ad over there means Ad V'Ad B'chlal, it means up to and including that day of Tet Zayin Nisan, that you're not allowed to eat Chodosh, so therefore you don't need a Takana of Rabbi Yehuda and Zakkai, says Rabbi Yehuda, automatically you're not allowed to eat it until the end of
it. Why doesn't the fellow say a day later?
So therefore,
why doesn't the Torah say
because when the Torah says Ad Etzem Ayem Azeh, we're meant to understand that it means until the end, until the Etzem Ayem Azeh is completed. So therefore, it means until the end of the day, until the night going into the 17th. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll talk about some details about it. Okay. Henef means waiting. So like we said, the Omer has to be waived. So Yom Henef means the day when the Omer is waived, meaning Tzayin.
So what's
Henef means waving. It's a drum. It's like a noun form, not the verb to wave, but rather the noun waving.
Okay, an adjective.
An adjective, if you want to call it that. Yeah, whatever. Okay. And why is it, continues the Mishnah, that will say, actually, so we don't have to wait for the Gemara, we see in the Mishnah. Why do people who live far away from the Shalayim, why, when there's a Korban Omer, why are they able to eat from Chatzos and onward? Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when, when the Beis Hamikdash is standing and there's a Korban Omer, that as soon as the Omer is brought, you can eat Kaddish. So why, according to both, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, why are the people far away able to eat from Chatzos and onward? Because they know that Beis Din is not going to be lazy about it. The latest that they'll ever bring it will be the middle of the day. Therefore, by the time the middle of the day, by the time Chatzos comes, they know for a fact that they can well assume that Beis Din has brought it.
Right. They cannot for some reason.
They're going to know under normal circumstances that Beis Din is
going to go evil.
Doesn't matter. Eventually they'll find out. But the point is, but they are entitled to assume that ain't Beis Din the Fastland Boys, and therefore they are entitled to eat from Chatzos Hayom Lahalim. They can assume that ain't Beis Din the Fastland Boys. You have two different things. You have the Tanakhama who seems to assume that Minas Torah you could eat from the beginning of Tzayin Nissen, and only because of Rabbi Yechon and Zakai Sakana do you have to wait till the end of the day. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda who says that Minas Torah, when there's no Omer, that is. When there's an Omer, everybody agrees as soon as the Omer is offered, you can eat Chadosh, and the people who live far away can eat it beginning from Chatzos because they know for a fact by that time the Omer has been brought. When there's no Beis Hamikdash, you have a Machloka. You have the Tanakhama seems to be saying that Minas Torah you would be able to eat even in the morning, and of Tzayin Nissen, and it's only Midrabanan that you can't. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Minas Torah you can't. Even Minas Torah you can't eat any time on Tzayin Nissen.
You have to wait
until the night. Okay. So let's discuss this. So actually, before we get into the Gemara, the Gemara is going to talk about the reason. The Gemara is going to talk about, of course, the reason behind the Takana and the reason behind what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. An interesting thing, though, an interesting side thing to mention is this takana of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai is mentioned in three places in Shas. It's mentioned over here. It's mentioned in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah in connection with a number of other takanas of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. It's in Sukkah as well because in Rosh Hashanah and in Sukkah you have put together over there two takanas of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. Now altogether, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah altogether Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made 9 takanas. But in Mishnayis Sukkah and in Mishnayis Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah puts two of them together. One of them is in connection with Sukkot. Minas Torah, you take the lulav and esrog only one day outside of the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, you take it all 7 days. Outside the Beis Hamikdash, you would take it only one day, Minas Torah. Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, the first day, meaning on the first day of Sukkot. The Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made a takana after the Korban that Zeichel and Mikdash, you should take the Dalad Minim all 7 days of Sukkot, which is what we do nowadays. And then the Mishnah continues in those places. So Shehein Lulav Nitzav Mikdash Shiva, that the mixed Lulav and Esrog should be taken for 7 days everywhere. And the Shehein Henef Kuloi Osir, and what we said in our Mishnah, that the entire Tetzayin Nitzav is Osir to each other. So why are they put together in those places? But Tosfos in Sukkah mentions that the reason is, apparently, because Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made those two takonis. Apparently, Rabbi Yechon, out of nine. Can I finish a sentence without you interrupting? Thank you. Yes. So Tosfos says in Sukkah that apparently Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made those two takanas at the same time. At the same time that he made the takana regarding Sukkah, he also made the takana regarding the Oymen. Now Tosfos doesn't elaborate why Dafke should have done those two together. So you have historically, Doros HaRoshonim, a sefer on Jewish history, mentions the idea. Given the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Av, but shortly after that you have Sukkah. So now he makes the takana over there about Sukkot, and while he's making that takana, he took the opportunity, not why should we have to send out messengers or letters or whatever twice, he took the opportunity to also inform people, by the way, we're also informing you what's going to be this coming Pesach, so this Mikdash hasn't been rebuilt, you should know Shehei Yom Henef Kuloi Osir. So that would be a practical reason why he put the two of them together. There's also an interesting thing, though, that I saw brought from the old Geri Rebbe, the Imre Emet. He says like this. We're going to talk, Rabbi Yehuda and Zakkai made a takana that you have to take lulav for 7 days when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Now that's likely to get people despondent. If you have to make a takana to remember the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore that you should take the lulav 7 days, which is the reason behind that takana, that means we're in it for the long haul. That means there's going to be a long gullus coming up. So it's likely to make people very discouraged. So they, what do you mean? The connection is because why did he make a takana that you should take the lulav for 7 days outside everywhere in order to remember the best message? Zeicher lemikdash. So if you have to make a zeicher, implies it's going to be a long time before there's going to be another one built. Otherwise, you don't need a zeicher for it if it's a short-term thing. So therefore, together with it, at the same time, he also made the takana about Yom Henef, which, as we're going to discuss briefly in our Gemara over here, and the Gemara discusses in more detail in those places, so we'll get to it soon, is the reason behind his takana, according to the Tanakhama anyway, is Meheri Yibana HaMikdash, that the Beis Mikdash may be built any day, and therefore that we need that people aren't going to get confused about when you can eat Kodesh. So that's why, the Imre Emes said, that is why the Rabbi Yechanan Zakeh made those two takanas together, not just the Balabatish thing that Jervis of the Shonim is saying, because while he took the opportunity, while he's publishing a takana on Sukkot time, he also published about what's going to be next day. But also, so if people get discouraged by the one, they get reassured by the other one. Therefore, our Mishnah, which is mentioning the one about Yom Ha'ef, that's relevant to our Masechta, doesn't mention the one about Lulav, because you don't need to mention it. Okay, let's only mention the one that was meant to encourage people and make them realize that Mehevi Yibana HaMikdash.
What's the connection between Henech and...
Because we're going to see in the Gemara that one reason behind Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh Takana is the Beis Mikdash may be built at any time, and people are going to be confused about when you can eat Kodesh. Okay.
Henech means
waving. We said it.
Can be built any time. No, it can be built any time.
And therefore, you have to make a Takana, that, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that Kodesh cannot be eaten any time during the 16th, because otherwise the following year, once the Beis Mikdash is built, people might be confused about when they can eat Kodesh. They're not going to realize you can't eat it first thing in the morning. Okay, so let's learn the Gemara. Maybe it'll become more clear to you when we learn the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara starts up. Rav and Shmuel da'amitavayu, Rav and Shmuel both say, regarding our Mishnah, what it is like this. This man should Beis Mikdash kayam, when the Beis Mikdash is standing, oimer matir, then fine, as soon as the oimer is brought, then it's mostly to eat Kodesh. This man should ain Beis Mikdash kayam, when there's no Beis Mikdash, heir mizrach matir. Then as soon as it gets light in the east, meaning as soon as it comes netachama, then immediately you're allowed to eat Kodesh. So then that would be deraisa. And then comes a Beis Mikdash and makes a takana that you can't eat at any time during that day. So, my timer, now why are Rav and Shmuel both saying that? Because they say Tre Kroy Ksi. You have two psukim, it's actually two parts of one pasuk that talk about when you're not allowed to and when you're allowed to eat Kodesh. Ksiv Ad Haviyachem, take out Yoim, because then the Yoim in the pasuk. One says until you bring the Omer. So the whole pasuk goes like this. V'lechem v'koli v'cham v'loiso. So you're not allowed to eat bread or toasted grain or fresh grain of Kodesh. But you're not allowed to eat ad esem ayem azeh until this very day. Ad haviyachem as korban alakechem, until you bring the korban of Hashem, meaning the omer. Chukasel m'dorisechem b'chol meshvetechem.
No, but in the afternoon.
So one part of the pasuk says ad haviyachem until you bring the omer, implying only once the omer is brought is chodesh mutter.
Right.
Uchtiv ad esem ayem azeh, but the other part of the pasuk says until the day. And if we say that ad means, unlike Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, if we say that ad means v'loy ad b'chlal, it doesn't include the day, then as soon as it comes the morning, you can eat it. So what is it? The pasuk is contradicting itself. Can you eat chodesh right away on the morning of Tetzayin Nissan, or do you have to wait till the Omer is offered? Okay, Sad. So how do we reconcile that? We have to say Rav and Shmuel, kan bizman shebeis mikdash kayim, kan bizman shein beis mikdash kayim. One part of the pasuk is talking about when there's a beis mikdash and there's a korban omer, then you have to wait till the omer is offered. The other part is talking when there's no korban omer, so as soon as it becomes light in the east, as soon as it comes netachama, you're immediately allowed to eat chodesh. However, then Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh made a takana for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara.
In other words, when it comes light means the next morning.
It means the morning of Tet Zayin. The morning of Tet Zayin. Right after the korban. They would have understood that there's not always going to be a Beis Mikdash. I mean, they already have it with the first Korban, and during the 7 years of Golas Vavol, the same thing applied also.
So everybody holds that when you bring the Omer in the morning, you got to wait till afternoon.
No. If they bring the Omer in the morning, you can eat it right there. People far away, practically speaking, because they can't call up the Beis Mikdash because they don't have telephones yet. So they can't call up and find out what time the Omer is booked, and they have to wait until
Chatzos. It must have been very, very depressing to know that the Beis Mikdash, based on the second pasuk, could be destroyed.
Maybe. I mean, it could have also been understood. If it happens, for whatever reason, that the Omer can't be brought. Okay. Okay, whatever. Now, it could also be understood that not necessarily that it means that the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed, but it could happen. Let's say that for whatever reason, they don't bring the Omer. Shogi is amazing, whatever. Okay. Anyway, that's all according to Rav and Shmuel. That midoraisa, when there's no omer, you're allowed to eat chadosh immediately on the morning after Zayin Nissen. You don't have to wait until chatzos or until whatever time the omer would usually be born. Okay. That's one explanation. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to Amitavai. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagree with that.
Hold on.
Chodesh and Chotzlaris, we'll talk about it on Amud Bey. Wait. Let's first deal with Eretz Yisrael. Let's deal with the basic fact. Okay. So again, we have Rav and Shmuel saying, when there's a Korban or Omer, you have to wait till the Korban Omer is brought. When there's no Korban or Omer, midoraisa, you're allowed to eat first thing in the morning. On Tech Zayin. Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish damit tavayu, then Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish both say, disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel, no, afibu b'zman shebeis ha-mikdash kayim, even when the beis ha-mikdash is standing, heyo mizrach matir, as soon as it becomes light in the east, as soon as it becomes netachama, on the morning of the 16th, you're right away allowed to eat chodesh. So there's no business that you have to wait until... So the question is, what are they doing with the fact that the Pasuk says until you bring the Omer? The answer is they would say the mitzvah. Okay, they would say there's a mitzvah to wait until the omer is brought, but if you're not over on a lab for not waiting. Okay, what about Mishakara va'omer hutar chodesh? We said in our Mishnah, once the omer is offered, chodesh is mutter, implying that up until that point it's also. Again, the answer is they would say hutar chodesh miyad. Again, they would answer the mitzvah. It means that it's a mitzvah to do it that way. So yeah, but you're over on a mitzvah, that's day, but it's not a lab. Actually, Tosfos actually questions that. And says that maybe what Rav and Shmuel mean is when we say mitzvah, they don't even necessarily mean that it's a mitzvah saseh. They may mean just that it's the right way to do it. The ideal way to do it is this way. But if you didn't, you're not over on a lav, and maybe you're not even over on an answer. We're talking, but yeah. Okay, what about? Okay, what about the next Mishnah says, Ha'omer ha'yam matir b'medina? The next Mishnah tells us that the Omer made it mutter to eat chodosh anywhere in the country. Ushtei alechem b'mikdash, and the shtei alechem which are brought on Shavuos made it mutter to bring chodosh for menachos. So like this, you have, in other words, so the Omer is brought on the second day Pesach. From then on, you are allowed to eat chodosh, a private person. However, to use that year's new grain crop for menachos, you have to wait until Shavuos, until the Shtei Alechem are brought, which the Shtei Alechem have to be Bikurim, as we'll learn on Amud Beis, and then therefore, then after that, you're allowed to use that year's crop for menachos. So the Mishnah clearly says over there that the Omer makes it mutter to eat Chodosh anywhere in the country, implying that before that not. So what are Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish telling us that midoraisa as soon as it comes in the morning? And again, the answer is l'mitzvah. Again, they would say that it means it's a mitzvah to do it that way, but not that you're over on a lav. That's how they learned. I guess they had tradition from their rabbi. Okay. So that's that. So we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand, and Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish on the other side. Whether midoraisa you're allowed to eat when there's a korban omer first thing in the morning, and just you shouldn't do it. You should wait until the omer is brought. But if you eat it from the morning, then you're not over on a lav. You don't get malchus. Or would you still get malchus until the omer is brought? Interesting idea, by the way. The Rogachover has an interesting take on it, that according to Rav and Shmuel, there would be actually two reasons why you can't eat it. First of all, because the Korban Omer hasn't been brought yet, but also, he says, it would be specifically, if you were to eat barley of Chodosh, then you would be over on another thing, he says, which is, effectively, you're eating Tevel. Because, he learned, given that the Korban Omer itself is brought from barley, effectively, he says, it functions as Truma on behalf of the whole barley crop for that year. So therefore, if you were to eat barley from the new year's crop before the Omer is brought, not only you're over on the Issur of Chodesh, but also you're over on the Issur of Kevel. And maybe even according to Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, we would say, a person's not over on the lav of Chodesh, he won't get Malchus for that, but conceivably, you could get Malchus for eating Kevel, if it was
barley.
Barley
is what?
So Odom. Okay. Fine.
That's not the other.
Well, the Rogachev mentions this idea. I mean, if he sits when Mashiach comes, if he's a member of the Sanhedrin, the Rambam doesn't specifically say one way or the other. It's the Rogachev's schedule. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so now let's continue. The Mishnah said that Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, we said that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai Sheyehem Henef Kulay Osir. Then we said Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made a takana that the whole day of that when the Omer is supposed to be waived, meaning the whole Tetz Zayin Nissen is also. So we haven't yet finished with this machlokus between the two sets of Amoraim. we still have to deal with, do we have a proof one way or the other? So we're asking, let's look, let's analyze. We see in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made this takana. So we have to ask, my timer, now why did he make this takana? Why didn't he leave it? Why didn't he leave it well enough alone that by the middle of the day or by the morning you can eat the oimer? Apparently, because Meheri Yabana Beis Mekdash, because he said what could happen, the Beis Mekdash could be built any time. The Yoimru, and if we allow people to follow what Minat Torah, because both Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish are agreeing that when there's no oimer, Minat Torah, you're allowed to eat it first thing in the morning. The problem is, if you allow them that, then when the Beis Mekdash is built, the Yoimru people are going to say, Eshtakad Milo Yochal Mebehev Mizra, last year, didn't we start eating Chodesh as soon as it got light in the morning on Tet Zayin Nissen? Hashta Nami Nechol, now after the Beis Mekdash is built, we should also be able to. V'lo Yadi, and they're not going to take into consideration, the Eshtakad Lehava Oimer, last year there was no Korban Oimer, therefore Eshtakad means last year. It's short for Shaka Kadmaisa, which means the year before. Anyway, so last year there was no Oimer, therefore Heir Mizrach Master, Bahashidi, Ika Oimer, they're not going to pay attention to the fact now that there's a business and there's a Korban Oimer again, Oimer Master, then the Oimer makes it Mutter. Okay, people, of course people are going to know that it's a difference between before and after Mashiach comes, but they're not going to realize that nuance that there's a difference that the Oimer is Master.
Yeah, it would be high.
Well, they'd be high mouthers, right. Well, that's the question. According to Rav and Shmuel, yes. According to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, it seems like not. It seems like either way, they're not going to be high mouthers. So that's the question. If you're going to tell me that this whole concept that you can't, if you're going to tell me that this whole concept that you're supposed to wait until the Omer is offered in order to eat Chodesh, if you're telling me the whole thing is only a mitzvah, but it's not an absolute requirement, and if a person did it, he's not high mouthers, Mishum mitzvah leifum b'ligzer. Why is Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai making a zera in order to because of the mitzvah? Nailev, usually the chachamim make a zera when you have a problem that without it people are going to be over on a lot. But if it's just a mitzvah, then there's no reason. Right. This is also what Tosfos brings over here, that if you're going to say it's a mitzvah saseh, fine, there still might be a valid reason to make a takana. But if you say there's no even mitzvah saseh, it's just the ideal of a chilah versus the b'dieved way to do it, then there's no reason to make a takana. Well, so the answer is, Omer of Nachum Leitzchak, the answer is, of Nachum Leitzchak says, actually, you're misunderstanding why Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai made the takana. By the way, before we get to the Nachum Leitzchak's explanation, the Gemara in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah gives another nuance to this whole thing of Meheri Yibana HaMikdash. This that we're saying, the first explanation that we have, Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai Takana, is because Meheri Yibana HaMikdash, the Gemara discusses there in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah, discusses that the point is, conceivably, the Beis Mikdash might be built on the first day of Pesach itself, and maybe even close to the end of the day. Close, some of the might be built at night, it might be built close to the end of the day. The point being, even though we said in our Mishnah that the Chachamim are never going to be caught napping, and they're never going to allow the Omer to be brought after Chatzos, conceivably, if the Beis Mikdash is all of a sudden built on the first day of Pesach, or on the night of the day, or going into the second day of Pesach, there's going to be such a hullabaloo, there's going to be so much going on, that they may not have the opportunity to bring the Omer before Chatzos HaYom on the 6th.
Maybe she'll make another go another, that's all.
Well, so that's
the problem.
What?
Maybe they'll make it not to be.
But we still have. But we still have. We don't realize. Well, so, mind you, I mean, Rashi discusses over there the issue how you can't build the Beis Mikdash at night, and you can't bring it on. You can't build it on Yom Tov anyway. However, this is the famous thing where Rashi learns over there the third Beis Mikdash will come down ready made, Min Hashemayim. So therefore, it could conceivably happen on Yom Tov. Then why not? Hashem is not bound by the laws of Yom Tov. It's not bound. The laws of Yom Tov, they're not to do malacha for us. They're not for... Yeah. does it not rain sometimes on Yom Tov? Do things not grow on Yom Tov? Are people not born and die on Yom Tov?
Not again. They'll be walking from Shabbos.
Yeah.
Thousands of houses in their bed.
No, what is that? I don't understand.
We're going to be over from Shabbos.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's over on from Shabbos?
They'll have to be walking.
Why would they have to be walking? We're talking to people in Yerushalayim. But so Rashi brings in that connection the famous thing, Mikta Sha'osid, Shonim Asapin, Bonim Ashokho, Rashi says over there. No, it's not over here, it's in Sukkah. That Rashi says the future Beis Mikdash that we're looking forward to, it'll be ready made Huyigala, it'll be revealed in the Shemaim, it'll be revealed and come down ready made in the Shemaim, Shonim Mikta Shashem Koninu Yadacha. Yeah. So in that case, then the Gemara discusses over there, conceivably that could happen on the first day of Pesach. or close to the end of the day, and therefore I'm close to the end of the day, and therefore, in other words, so with all of the to-do involved in setting up the business, they may not have the time to bring the Korban HaOmer in time. Then conceivably you could have that the Korban HaOmer is going to be brought very late in the day, and therefore the Gemara says over there, that's why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai made a sakana. But then the Gemara continues over there, and here the Gemara doesn't even bring that whole discussion, because here we're just trying to figure out to reconcile Rabbi Yehoshua and Rish Lakish's Shitta. So here we just go directly to Rabbi Nachman Leibkuk's explanation of the takan. Omer of Nachman Leibkuk, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai, the Shitta's Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai, when he made his takana, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. The Omer min haTorah also, where Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that there doesn't need to be a takana. It is also the entire midaraisa, the entire 16th. Shenema ad esma yemazeh, until this very day, meaning ad isume shoyim, until the essence of the day. The kasava ad va'ad v'chal, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that ad means including, means inclusive. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda Zakkai's takana is based on that. So we don't understand. So in other words, if we understood Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai's takana to be changing, to be adding something with Minat Torah, it's mutter from the morning, and only Midrabanan is it after the whole day, then we have the question on Rabbi Yehoshua and Rish Lakish. Well, why should he do that if the most you're going to be over is a mitzvah saseh if you eat it from the morning? But now, if we understand, as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai is saying, that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai holds that Minat Torah is after the whole day when there's no over, like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, not like Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Then obviously he had to make the takana, because then it's not, then you don't need the takana, then it's also midaraisa. So that's the question then. What do you mean? Rabbi Shmuel were following the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the mayor, who says that Minat Torah is not also the whole day. Minat Torah is not also the whole day. It's only also, so they learned. Now, the Mishnah didn't spell out, according to the mayor, when it becomes mutter, when there's no business. So Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish are arguing on that point. But now we're saying, never mind all of that. We can say, you're asking from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai takana, why would he have to make such a takana if anyway it's mutter from the morning? The answer is because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai held it's not mutter from the morning. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's also the whole day. So the question is, when we saw the Lakabasei, are you telling me that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda's Shitta? What do you mean? It seems from the Mishnah that they're arguing. Ditznan, because he said in the Mishnah, Mishachor Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai, Sheyehem Henef Kulei Oser, after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai made his takana, that the whole day of raving, the whole Tes Zionism should be Oser, and the Mishnah continues, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Ba'aloi Minat Torah Hu Oser. Isn't it Oser Minat Torah? Shenem Jichtiv Ades and Ayem Azeh. So what do you mean that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai agrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out in the Mishnah, I disagree with the premise that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai made a takana, because there's no need for a takana, it's also Daraisa. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda hu dekatoi. What it is Rabbi Yehuda, when he heard Rabbi Meir saying that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai made a takana, he misunderstood what that meant. He made a mistake. Who saw Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai made Rabbanan comment? He figured, what's a takana? A takana usually means that something is mutter daraisa, but the chachamim say it's also. So he thought that's what it meant. That Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai is saying it's also the Rabbanan. What? What do you mean? That's gross. That's how it is. Usually the word takana means that a bummer.
No, I understand, but okay.
Okay, one second. Listen. When he heard Rabbi Meir saying, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai made a takana sheyeheya in henef kulei oser. So Rabbi Yehuda jumps in and says, what do you mean? It's a takana. It's also daraisa. But the loy he. But that's not what, that we can say that's not what the Tanakhama meant. Midaraisa kama. We can say that what the Tanakhama meant, what the mayor meant, is actually that it is also daraisa, and not that it's a takana derabam. In other words, the word takana here is used in a different sense than it usually is. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is not really arguing with Rabbi Yehuda and Zakkai. He thought, if we're saying Rabbi Yehuda and Zakkai made a takana, it must mean that it's derabanan. But no, what we meant is that he made a takana. In other words, that it's daraisa. The question is, v'hiskin katani. What do you mean? You said the word hiskin implying he made a takana. The word takana means derabanan. The answer is, my hiskin, what does the word hiskin mean over here? Dorash v'hiskin. It means that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Zakkai darshins the pasuk, like Rabbi Yehuda does, that ad means ad v'ad v'chlal, it means inclusively, and v'hiskin, and on that basis, he made a takana. In other words, he informed the public, you should know, now that this message is destroyed, realize that since the pasuk says ad esma yehnazeh, it means the entire day is also. It means we have a new circumstance. Well, so then 1 second. So then according to that, if we understand that like Rav Nachman's way, that Rav Yechon and Zakkai Takana is not really Takana, but rather just establishing, darshaning the Pesukim and explaining to the people what needs to be done from now on, then it means that Midaraisa the whole day is also. And in that case, we don't have Rav and Shmuel's opinion, and we don't have Rav Yechon and Rosh Lakish's opinion. That would all be according to the understanding that Midaraisa Tes Zayin itself is Musa. According to Rav Nachman, if we accept Rav Nachman's explanation of this takana, then there's no room for any of Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechon and Rosh Lakish's opinions, because their opinions are all premised on the idea that Kesayin itself is Mutter Midaraisa, and here Rav Nachman is telling us that Rav Yechon and Zakkai holds like Rav Yehuda that the whole thing is also Midaraisa. Okay, so now the question comes, that seems to be the final thing, that yes, that test, the whole test Zion is also Minakoda when there's no Oida. Now, this is all so far in Eretz Yisrael. Now let's start talking about Chutzar. Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua Achi Chodosh Ba'urta Deshitzar Nagi Shitzar. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua, who lived in Babel, they would eat Chodosh on the night following the 16th, going into the 17th. Ba'urta means in the night. Deshitzar, following the 16th, Nagi Shitzar, the evening before the 17th. In other words, again, our Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to eat Chodosh the entire 16th of Nisan. But one way of looking at it, we said, is that's only the Rabbanon because of Rav and Zakkai Takana, and the other way of looking at it is that's the right. Regardless, either way, you're not allowed to eat it on the 16th. So fine, they didn't eat it all day on the 16th, but they ate it the night going into the 17th. Now, the point is, if they're in Babel, don't you have Sfeika de Yoma? The same way as we have 2 days of Yom Tov in Babel and everywhere else outside Eretz Yisrael, on the face of it, it should be also the whole 17th as well, because the 17th might really be the 16th. They didn't worry about that. Kosagri, because they held Chodosh b'chutzlaretz d'rabbanan, they held that Chodosh is b'chlal also in chutzlaretz only d'rabbanan.
Now,
chutzlaretz means
in the areas.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about that soon. Wait. So they held that any place outside Eretz Yisrael, Chodosh is only also Dirabanan. Well, the Sfeika, like Hashinan, and therefore they held, when we're dealing with something Dirabanan, we don't have to worry about the Sfeika. We don't have to worry about the Sfeika of the Yoma, therefore we can eat as soon as the 16th is over.
That's Chutzlaretz.
That's Chutzlaretz. Okay, that's one.
Both will hold that they said, from Yudin and they'll hold the 16th.
Either way, after Rav Yechon and Zakkai Takana, the whole 16th is also either the Rabbanon or the Daraisa, but whatever. The Rabbanon according to the earlier explanation. Either way, the point is, it's also
the earlier explanation is supported by the later.
No, not necessarily. No, I mean, whatever. The bottom line is that it's also on the 16th, regardless. The Daraisa or the Rabbanon, either way, it's off limits until the end of the 16th. So now the question becomes, in Chutzlaretz, is Chodosh also Daraisa or not? If we say that Chodosh is only also the Rabbanan, then Rav Papa and Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua said, in that case, there's no reason to worry about Sfeika B'Yoma when it comes to things that are Rabbanan. By the way, they talk about this in other contexts also. For example, there's a question that some Achronim ask, why is it that we don't have 9 days of Hanukkah in Chutzlaretz? Same way as we have an extra day of every Yom Tov, we have an extra day. That's it. So that's one answer. That's one answer. Because Hanukkah is only the Rabbanan, therefore we don't worry about Sfeika B'Yoma. Yom Kippur, there's no choice. It's dangerous to fast 2 days, so the Chacham didn't impose it on us. Hold on. That's as far as Orla. That's as far as Chalayim.
How can you say it's dangerous after fasting 3 days?
Okay, but first of all, we don't know if they. Yeah, fine. I mean, he didn't fast. Yeah, but we don't know if they ate at night or not. They might have sometimes. That's a 3-day fast. Yeah, but whatever. The point is, the Chacham didn't want to impose it on us. Okay. Okay, so all that's one of these. Rabbanan Dvei Rav Ashi, on the other hand, the Rabbanan of Yeshiva of Rav Ashi, Achli B'Safra the Shivsar, they would eat Chodosh beginning also in Babel, beginning only on the morning of the 17th. They wouldn't eat it the night going into the 17th, like Rav Papa and Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua. They would wait overnight and eat it first in the morning. Kasavri Chodosh.
Who?
The Rabbanan of Yeshiva of Rav Ashi.
Which was where?
In Babel. Kasavri, because they held Chodosh B'chutzlar Daraisa. They held that Chodosh is also Daraisa in Chutzlaret. Therefore, once we're talking about something Daraisa, we do have to worry about state of the Yoma. So therefore, we can't eat it first thing in the morning on the 16th. We can only have to wait till the 17th. So why aren't they waiting till the end of the day, in accordance with Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai Takana? Because they learn, like the first explanation, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai Midrabbanan Kamar, that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai Takana is not telling us what the din is daraisa. He's only telling us what I want you to do on a drabbanan level. Don't eat it the whole day on the 16th because meheri yibana amikdash and people are going to get confused. And therefore they held chitakin liyoyim kenet. So they held, therefore, when Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai made a sakana, it was only regarding the actual day of the waving of the omer itself, only the actual 16th. With seika lochakin. But when it came to Takana to extend it to the entire day, they held he wasn't extending it to the entire day for sake of the Yoma. So in other words, what they're left with is, without Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai Takana, we would say that you mutter to eat it immediately in the morning of the 16th. Both Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would all agree to that. So therefore, being in Chutz La'aretz, we have sake of the Yoma, so they have to wait till the morning of the 17th. They don't have to worry about Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai Takana, because that only applies in Eretz Yisrael, they held. That only applies to the actual 16th itself, and well, not only applies in Eretz Yisrael, it applies only to the 16th itself, not to the 17th, which might really be the 16th, the fake of the end. Okay. So that's the second one. Then a third one, Omer Ravina. Ravina says, Omer Li'ein, my mother told me, Avucha loy hava ocho chodosh ela ba'urta de shivtar nagit manesar. Your father, apparently Ravina's father passed away when he was young, so your father would not eat chodosh until the evening of the 17th going into the 18th. So he would, in Bava also. So he would be the most master. He would not eat the entire 17th also. So the Sava like Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, like the second exponent, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Chodosh is also the entire 16th Minat Torah, when there's no Omer, the Chayesh L'Sfeika. And furthermore, because he holds, because Daraisa, therefore he has to be Choshesh for Sfeika the Yemet. So not like the Rabbanon Dveir of Ashi, who held with like the first explanation that there's they held that Midaraisa is Musa from the morning, so therefore we only need Sfeika the Yemet on that. Ravina's father held that Midaraisa, the whole 16th is also, therefore in Chutzlaret, the whole 17th is also. Now, so what is the
actual... Why is it that 17th also?
Because for the same reason why we have 2 days of Yom Tov outside Eretz Yisrael, because the 17th might really be the 16th, the previous month, that 30 days. Okay, so what is the bottom line about Chodosh outside Eretz Yisrael? So, this is where... Right, okay. So what is the deal? We know that there are people nowadays who are machmir on Chodosh, even outside Eretz Yisrael. We also know that there are many people who don't. The minhag in general among most branches of Chassidus is not to be careful about it, and in particular by us we were never machmir, by us in Lubavitch we were never machmir on it. So what is the basis for all of that? So there's a wide-ranging discussion on this. First of all, you have our Gemara over here, but you also have, a Mishnah at the end of Arla that states that Chodosh is also outside Eretz Yisrael, that states that Chodosh is also outside Eretz Yisrael on a Daraisa level. It's a Mishnah at the end of Arla. A Chodosh also in a Torah b'chol mokom. Exactly what we said before. New Chodosh, grain that did not take root before Tet Zayin Nissen. If we're talking now about outside Eretz Yisrael, but now we're talking about outside Eretz Yisrael, the question is, if you have grain that was planted too close to Pesach, so it didn't take root before the Omer, are you allowed to eat it after it's harvested, or do you have to wait until the following year Omer? So again, we have a Mishnah at the end of Orla that says that says flat out, Chodosh is also in a third of a Chomakas. On the other hand, we have a Mishnah in Kiddushin, where you have the Tanakama against Rabbi Eliezer, which says that Chodosh is not also outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then we have our Gemara over here, where we have the different opinions of the Amoraim, whether it's also Daraisa or Darabon. So first of all, you have all that discussion. Second of all, you also have a great deal of discussion among the Rishonim and among the Achronim with different reasons to argue that it should be Mutter in Chutz La'aretz after all. Among them are, you have one argument that's made that most grain is planted well before Pesach and harvested, and by the time it's harvested, it's after Pesach, and therefore the roiv of it therefore is mutter. You only have a miut of it that wouldn't be, and therefore you can argue it's bottle beloiv. You have a great deal of discussion where some of the poskim hold that, in particular the Bach talks about this, that chodosh may apply outside Eretz Yisrael, but only to grain grown by a yid, not grain grown by goy. And the vast majority of wheat fields outside Eretz Yisrael belong to goy. So therefore, that would be another reason to be mastered. You have an explanation from Abenu Baruch, who wrote, one of the Rishonim, who wrote a sefer called Sefer HaTrumah, where he holds that yes, chodosh applies outside Eretz Yisrael, midrabanan, but the same way as we discussed yesterday, that the rabbanan imposed truma and meiser outside Eretz Yisrael, but only in the countries near Eretz Yisrael, Babel, Egypt, Ammon, Moab, Syria, whatever, but not far away countries. He says the same thing would be as far as chodosh. The rabbanan only applied it for the countries near Eretz Yisrael, but not the ones further away, Europe or America or whatever. So that would be another reason to be matir. So with all of that, therefore, you have the fact is the minhag of a large part of the belt is to be mekel and chadosh, and these are among the reasons that are brought to bear why to do that. So if it's grain that's grown by a yid outside Eretz Yisrael, then one of those heterim falls away, because then according to the Bach, it doesn't apply to grain grown by a goy, but he would say it applies to grain grown by a yid. Right. So the Bach is the one who says that argument. But again, you have other arguments as well. Again, such as Rabbeinu Baruch, that it doesn't matter whether it's grown by a Yid or a Goy, as long as it's not one of the countries near Eretz Yisrael. And again, you have this business about Roiv. So you have Hekerim to rely on. Practically speaking, by the way, you have two major seasons in the year. You have two different kinds of wheat. You have winter wheat and you have spring wheat, which are winter wheat, this plant, which is stays in the ground over the winter. That, by the time it's harvested, is Yoshan already, because Pesach has generally already passed by the time it's harvested. And then you have spring wheat, which is planted around Pesach or after it or whatever, and then that is where you can have the issue of chodesh with it. But again, the majority of wheat and of flour and whatever that's sold, is practically speaking, is winter wheat, so therefore that gets into this thing. Therefore, roiv is mutter, is not chodesh, and therefore that's again one of the arguments that you don't have to worry about the meal that might be.
If you import wheat from the southern part of the hemisphere, like America and so on and so forth, and you import them during the winter, how are you going to know?
Well, so that might be a consideration, that's true. I mean, so there, of course, their planting season is the opposite of ours. Fine, but again, that's not necessarily going to be a root. That would be a mute. So again, you know, that's one argument that can be brought to bear, that since it's a mute, then we're not worried about it. So again, you have all these different things. As far as the fact, you have people who are machmer on it. As far as the fact that Pesidim in general are makel on it, there's a famous thing brought in this connection that the Baal Shem Tov one time said, first of all, when the Bach came up with this heter, that grain grown by Goyim outside Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the rules of Chodosh, then right at that time, that took many people out of Gehenna, because you had many people up until that point who had eaten Chodosh, and therefore they were being judged strictly for it, because what do you mean, you were over on an Isser Torah, and then comes the Bach with his Heter, so therefore a lot of them were taken out of Gehenna on that basis. And, continued the Baal Shem Tov, when the Bach passed away, in general, says the Baal Shem Tov, whenever a tzaddik passes away, he has to be led through Gehenna. He doesn't have to stay there because he's a tzaddik, but he has to be at least led through Gehenna. Right. When the Bach passed away, and it was his turn for that to happen, they first cooled off the Gehenna for 40 days before they brought him through over there. Like to acknowledge what a great tzaddik he was, like not only doesn't even have to be hot when he's going through there.
And just indeed, for him?
Just for him. No, for, well, it meant one for him. It benefited everybody else also. On that basis, the Baal Shem Tov said, so you see how respected the Bach is up in Shemayim, and you see how respected this stack is. On that basis, we can follow, we're able to follow that stack. We're able to follow that heter of his and eat Chodesh. I guess that's true.
I'm not sure. I hate to say it.
Well,
they have
a certain point, because both Chazir and Chodesh are equally an Isur Lav. However, again, hazer there's no hazer for, whereas chodesh, we're saying you have these various attainments for. So again, okay, in Shulchan Aruch it says that Baal Nefesh should be machmir, but even though, again, usually we chsidim are usually machmir on anything that it says that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir on, this is one thing that we are not on the basis of this statement about that. So you have on many packages of products, you'll actually see, it'll be stamped on there, that it'll be stamped, Yoshan. Again, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's no heter. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, Chodosh applies regardless.
You know.
But if you're in Chutz La'aretz, and you're talking about grain that was grown in Chutz La'aretz, then for those people who are careful about those things, so you have, you'll go to restaurants, and you'll say on the menu or on the heter or whatever, that all our flour is Yoshan, and on a package of baked goods or whatever, it'll be stamped Yoshan or whatever. Yeah, so for people who are careful about that, they have. Yeah. Mishnah says, "The omer hoya matir b'medina." The omer, the offering of the omer, made as we just said, made now that you can eat grain anywhere else outside of this mikdash. Again, according to Rav and Shmuel, that would be that without that you're over on a lav if you eat it before the omer is brought. According to Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, it would only be that you're over on an esser or maybe not even an esser. Ushtei alechem b'mikdash. The shtei alechem do the same thing as far as the bis mikdash. That again, you can't bring menachos from the new grain crop before the shtei alechem are brought on Shavuos. The grain that was grown that year that took root before the omer and was harvested after it, it's mutter at that point for regular people to eat because the omer has been brought. But to use it for menachos, you have to wait till Shavuos until the shtei alechem are brought. Okay.
And the shtei alechem are brought with
brought from wheat. They're brought from wheat flour.
From butter.
Yeah. So then once they're brought, yeah. Yeah. Once you bring the omer, then everybody is allowed to eat that new year, that new crop of that year that's planted in the winter. And what?
Except for
menachos, that you have to wait till Shavuot. Yeah. Ein mevi'in menachos will be kodem u'minchas behem akodem la'omer. So therefore, you can't bring a mincha from the new grain crop or bikurim from the new grain or a mincha that accompanies an animal korban, minchas nesachim in other words, kodem la'omer, before the omer is offered, v'imhevi pasul. And if you did, then it's pasul because the omer hasn't been brought yet.
One second.
So we're saying like this. If you brought them before the omer, then they're outright pasul. Kodem the shtei alechem lo yobi, but if you bring them between the omer and the shtei alechem, you still shouldn't be bringing them. Imhevi kosher, but if you brought them, then b'di'evet they are kosher. That's the difference. Before the omer is brought, you're not allowed to bring from chodesh at all. It'll be possible. After the omer, it's kosher, but it's not the best thing to do. You're supposed to wait until the shtei alechem. No, you're not over on a lav. You didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way. And now, why that difference? So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Tarfon b'chol kashalei. Rav Tarfon was sitting and wondering about the distinction in our Mishnah. Ma ben kodem la'omer la'kodem shtei alechem. What indeed is the distinction between before the omer, where we say it'll be posel, and before the shtei alechem, where it'll be kosher b'di'evad? Omer l'fon of Yehuda bar Nechaseva. Well, no, so the question is, why after the shtei alechem, of course, it's like a chachilah, but between the omer and the shtei alechem, we're saying it's only b'di'evad. So what's the difference? Yeah, I meant before. Omel of fun of Yehuda bar Nechemia. So Yehuda bar Nechemia answers Reb Tarfon, why? No, there's a distinction between them. Im amarcha kodim la'omer. It's one thing you can say the reason why they're possible if you bring them before the omer. Shekein lo chutu mikvola eto hedia. Because there's no exception to the rule. Chodesh is completely offer at that point, even to a regular person. So therefore, before the omer. How can you compare it to before the shtei alechem, where you already have the issur is not as strong anymore. A hedyot is allowed to eat it. Only the bet mitzvah is not allowed to yet. So therefore, you can say once the issur has been weakened, then it's a different situation over here, and then therefore b'di'evad you bring it up. Shasta comparison. So Tarfon was quiet. He didn't give an answer to that.
You don't have to accept
it. Well, wait. So let's finish the story first, and then we'll talk about their respective svaras. So Rav Yehuda ben Nechemia's face lit up, like he managed to best Rav Tarfon in discussion. Amalei Rav Akiva said to him, Yehuda. What are your face glowing so much that you were able to refute the old Talmud Chacham, Reb Tarfon? Shnehani and Tarek Yomim. I'll be surprised if you live very long because you have to have Derech Eretz for a Rebbe. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi says what actually ended up happening. Oyseh Aterek Pras Pesach Hoya. Prasa Pesach Hoya. When this story, when this first part of the story took place, was Prois HaPesach, for 2 weeks before Pesach, in the middle. Prois literally means a half. Rashi explains, you're supposed to learn the halachas of a Yom Tov 30 days before the Yom Tov, so 15 days before it, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, is called Prois HaPesach. It's halfway through that time. So this happened around Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Shalisi La'aseres, when I came back to the yeshiva for Shavuot, says Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, who belonged to the next generation, when I came back to continue my learning for Shavuot, Sha'alti asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya Heichem, I asked, where is Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya? And they said he passed away. So sure enough, what Rabbi Akiva said came true. By the way, Rabbi Reuven Margolius points out an interesting thing. We know the famous thing that Rabbi Akiva's own Talmidim had the problem that Leinagu covered Zebazeh, that they didn't get covered to each other. And what happened, the 24,000 of them, when did they pass away? Between Pesach and Shavuot. The same thing over here. Yehuda ben Nechemya had the same problem that he didn't show enough Derech Eretz for the Pesach, that he's proud of himself, that he beat him in discussion, and therefore also this time of year, that particular time of year, is a time of dinim kashim, a time of harsh judgment from the Lamaila, and therefore he was judged.
Well, that's exactly the question that goes further on Rabbi Akiva. How can you make such a statement, knowing that...
Because it's not, Rabbi Akiva is not saying, because of what I'm saying, this is going to happen. He's stating a fact, because of the way that you acted with a lack of derech eretz, sort of paraphrase, then you have to expect that Hashem is going to judge you strictly, and the fact that it's that time of year when there is a strict judgment during the time of Spirit Omer, then that's Taka 1 happens.
Rabbi
Akiva passed away. I don't know. I think it says he was killed on Yom Kippur. I think it says.
Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud from Rav Tarfon in the beginning.
At the beginning, it was a Talmud of Rav Tarfon, right after they became Chaverim.
An additional reason.
Yeah. Okay, so let's continue the discussion. Omer of Nachmus, L'divrei Yehuda ben Nechemya, based on Yehuda ben Nechemya's principle, though, where he's saying that the reason why to distinguish between before the Omer and before the Shtei Alechem is the fact that before the Omer there's no exception to the rule, Chodesh is also to everybody, whereas afterwards at least it's Mutter to a Hediot. Well, based on that logic, says Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Bikurim Nesachim Bikurim Sheikriven Kodim LaOmer, or Niske Bikurim, it says on the side, if you were to offer Nesachim of Bikurim before the Omer, Nesachim meaning the wine that accompanies a carbon, then they're also, if you brought them even before the Omer, Kshayrin, then they would be kosher. Even if they're from this year, it's crop of grapes.
You bring the Nesachim.
Again, we're talking, we've been talking about the flowers that accompany the carbon. That we're saying is also to do before the Omer, but then, so that's the thing. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying, according to Yehuda ben Nechemya's logic, the Nesachim, the wine or the oil, could be from this year's crop. The Gemara says, Pshita, well, isn't that obvious? Of course, Chodesh only applies to grain. The answer is, Mao detainment. Yeah, but you would think like this. Hosem hu dehutra mikola etzalhan. Yeah, fine, you would say like this. You know why flour is mutter before the Shtei Alechem is because you had before, it was also to a hediot, and now it became mutter after the Omer. Aval hocha dehutra mikola. Here, when it comes to wine and oil, where there was no issue on them before the Omer, you can't say the Isra has been weakened after the Omer has been brought. So you would think, Loi, maybe not. Maybe you're talking not allowed to bring from them until after Shavuot. Because you would argue that they didn't have any specific Isra on them before the Omer. So maybe, therefore, when it comes to flour from Anachos, fine, once they're mutter to a hediot, then you can say, okay, then that's good. That's enough of a reason that B'dievet, we can use them for Anachos. But if you say, as far as wine and oil, those, you should say, maybe there's an absolute rule, you can't bring them from this year's crop until after Shavuot. From Ashmalan, therefore, that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok wants to inform us that not. Kolshik, just the opposite. Kolshik in Hachab, it's the cloud, because on the contrary, just the opposite. Since they were never also at all, there's no reason that they should be also before Shavuot.
They were never also, how would you come to think?
Because you would come to think that maybe the Torah wants that that what's brought on Shavuot should be the first of all the different, crops.
But yeah, not a crop.
That wine is a crop. It comes from grapes. Grapes are, and the wine is made from grapes. Come on. So therefore, so you would think. So
all the crops going to that.
You would think, in other words, when the Mishnah said being heavy possible, you would think that refers specifically to. You would think it refers. You would think that the distinction that between before and after the Omer and before and after the Shalem. Okay? Only apply, you would think that it applies to all crops. No, it only applies to flour from an offer.
It would be a bit stretched.
Okay. Now, okay, so, okay. Here you have on the... Okay.
You know, of course, I mean, flour meaning it's not only wine, but any...
No, meaning in other words, that flour... No, in other words, like it. Wine and oil you can bring, there's no thing of chodesh on them, so therefore you can bring them from this year's crop before Pesach, before Shavuot, after Shavuot, doesn't matter. Flour, if you bring it for a mincha before the Omer from this year's crop, it'll be possible.
Right.
If you bring it after the Omer and before the Shteilach, and it's not the best thing to do, but it's kosher, and if you do it after Shavuot, then fine, then we'll fill up with it. Now, there's a
sister.
You would think it's obvious about the wine and the oil, and the answer is okay. You might think, why is it mutter in the case of grain? Because you had an issur which then was weakened. But here you'd think maybe there's an absolute issur on it for menachos, or for nesachim rather, before Shavuos. We're telling you that. Okay. There is a sicha in Chelek Lamed Beis where the Rebbe analyzes the whole din. So before we get to the sicha, actually. So what, in this discussion between Yehuda Bar Nechemya and Reb Tirson, the question is that the Rishonim asked, the Chedushim Am Yechasim Arashka asks, so what did Reb Tirson not realize? I mean, this svara that Yehuda ben Nechemya gave is a very straightforward svara. Why didn't Reb Tirson hold of it? So the answer is, he says, because Reb Yehuda ben Nechemya and Reb Tirson, they may have been coming from two different angles on what is the idea behind this that we're saying that it's also from Menachos before Shavuot. Is it an extension of the thing that is also to a hediyot? So then fine, we would say, well, once mutter to a hediyot, then that issur becomes weakened, and therefore it's not strong enough to pass over. Or you could say they're two separate things. You have one regarding a hediyot before the Omer, and you have a different one regarding the Beis Mikdash before Shavuot. If we take the view that they're two separate things, then you're Yehuda ben Nechemya's logic doesn't follow, doesn't hold. So therefore, Reb Tirson may have held that way. So when he didn't answer Yehuda Bar Nechemya, it may not have been because he doesn't have an answer. It may be because he said, okay, look, obviously you have your own way of understanding the situation. I don't agree with that premise of yours. Therefore, I don't accept that your answer has any validity because it's coming from a different angle on it than I hold it.
It's
a totally separate thing, right? Yeah. Those are two possible ways of understanding it. And then the Sfasemis brings another way of understanding the distinction, which is basically, since the Torah tells us that the Shtei Alechem have to be Bikurim, have to be the first crop, so therefore it's supposed to be like that. However, it's not enough to pass over because it wasn't repeated. We know a general rule that for something to be ma'akev by kodshim, it has to be repeated.
We're not talking about ma'akev.
No, that's the thing. That's why it's not ma'akev. That's because it's not repeated. Well, in other words, usually we have, in order to say that something should be ma'akev, that without it, a korban is possible, it has to be, we've learned this a few times in the Masechta, that it has to be that the Torah repeats the statement twice. If it only says it once, then it means it's the right way to do it, but if you didn't do it that way, then it's not ma'akev, right? So now there's a sicha in Chelek Lamed Beis. That thing about it not being repeated, rather actually, sorry, is the second explanation. Okay, so we have like this. One explanation is, again, that you have, that it's essentially the same Isser, but the difference is after the Omer, the part of the Isser that applies to people no longer applies, therefore the part of the Isser that applies to the Beis Mikdash has also been weakened in its severity. That's one way of understanding it. A second way of understanding it is that it's only l'chatchila because it wasn't repeated. So therefore, that's why it's not ma'akev. That's why if you brought it after the Omer before the Shtei Alechem, then it's not possible. And then the third one, the third idea, which the Sfas Emes brings, is that the difference between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem is the Omer has the status of a matir. Without it, chodesh is awesome. On the other hand, the Shtei Alechem are not a matir. It's just they're supposed to be mincha chadasha. They're supposed to be the first carbon of the new grain. But it's not a matir, therefore you can't say that if it wasn't the first one, that it should be possible. That's the third spot. The real matir is the Omer, right? Okay. So nothing to do with Hediot versus Hektish, right? It's just having to do with the fact that like the Omer is a matir and the Shtei Alechem are not. Okay, so then the Rebbe analyzes in the Sicha in Chelek Lamed Beis, analyzes these three explanations in terms of Avodah. So the Rebbe develops the idea over there. First of all, we know that the Omer represents the first stage of Avodah. It's brought from barley, which is animal food, and representing that the person has to subjugate their nefesh of Bahamas in service of Hashem. Eventually, you come to Shavuot after you find yourself in the 49 days of Sfira. Then you're on a human level, so you bring human food versus wheat. You can even bring it as chametz because you have a combination of chametz, which represents yeshus, which represents the person feels himself to be an independent entity, so it's not arrogance necessarily, but a person at least feels his own existence, but you bring them together with the kvasim, which in Chassidus talks about the two sheep that are brought to Shalach and represent Kabbalah oil, because sheep are very docile creatures. So therefore, the Rebbe continues, when we have these three ways of understanding what the deal is, why it is that if you bring a mincha from Kaddish before the Omer, it's possible, and if you bring it before the Shkei Lechem, it's not possible, so it's not the ideal way to do it. Based on three understandings that we're saying of what the distinction is, we can apply them, that Rebbe says, to three different levels that a person might be on in Avodah.
The first level that we're saying
that it's essentially the same Isser, all it is that now the Isser has been weakened after the Omer because now a regular person is able to eat from it. That corresponds to a person who has a low level in Avodah. So in other words, this is a person where if he doesn't prepare himself properly, he's likely to start falling down in his level of Avodah, in his level of Kedusha. So then, therefore, in other words, so you have the Omer and the Shkei Lechem are two stages in the process of refining himself and making himself into a fit Keli and then making himself into an Ovid. So therefore, if he's missing the first one, if he's missing the Omer, he hasn't even subjugated his Nefesh HaBahamas, then it's completely possible. And if he hasn't brought the Shtei Lechem, then okay, then it's not Ma'akev, but it's still, there's something missing in it, there's something missing in his Avodah. That's the first way. The second way would be if we say that the two isurim for Hedyot and for the Bais Hamikdash are two completely separate things. In other words, that we're saying that for the Bais Hamikdash it's not ma'akev because it wasn't repeated in the pasuk. Then we would say that refers to somebody who is on a higher level of avodah. We're not talking about a person who's likely to slip back into evil. We're talking about a person where he needs the Shtei Lechem, and he needs what the Shtei Lechem represents to make his Avodah better, to make it more Mehudah. So therefore, no Omer means that he's missing something essential. He can't be on that level. No Shtei Lechem means he's missing that extra level, but not that there's actually any possibility that he's going to fall backwards. So therefore, on that level, in other words, we look at, there's two separate things. There's what's osur and mutter to the Hedyot, that he's dealt with. Then there's what's osur and mutter to the Bais Hamikdash. We're saying that it's not active. If there's something, there'll be something missing over there, but it's not like without that, he's in danger of falling back.
The first explanation would be
somebody who's in danger without that thing that the Shkei Lechem represents. There's a certain danger that he may fall back. So fine.
How do you differentiate between the first and the second in terms of knowing where you are?
Well, a person has to figure out for himself where he is.
A person has to figure out for themselves
what level they're on, talk it over with a mashpia or whatever. Then you have a person who's on the highest level where you're not bringing the Shtei Lechem in order to facilitate your future avodah. Your Shtei Lechem are an avodah in and of themselves. They represent Torah Shabbat Chassav and Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's an avodah of its own. So you have to bring them. But on that level, what we're saying is the reason why you have to bring them is not because without that something is missing, like in the first two explanations, but because you have to have this new avodah of yours has to be mincha chadasha. It has to be the new korban of this year.
So again,
the Omer represents the Bahamas, the behemishness of a person, the animalistic aspect of a person. That's why we offer barley. But that's essential. That's an essential prerequisite on all three levels. You have to have dealt with that in order to be able to start climbing an avodah. But when we talk about the fact of this that we're saying, the Shtei Lechem, that if you bring a mincha from new grain before the Shtei Lechem, that we're saying, but yeah, but it's kosher. Again, you have three ways among the Rishonim and Achronim to understand why that should be so. And those correspond to three levels that a person might be on in Avodas Hashem. Is it that without the She'er Lechem, and what they represent, there's a danger that he might regress? Is it there's not a danger that he might regress, but there's still something missing as far as perfecting his Avodah? Or is it that it's supposed to be a new stage in his Avodah, and therefore it has to be there?
So the first stage you could regress even beyond the Omer?
Not necessarily beyond the Omer, but whatever. It's possible that he's going to regress from where he should be. So now the Gemara Seder Hanesa Gali Pil Simon. This is a Simon, four questions that the Gemara is going to bring up in connection with the Shtela. So we'll start with the first one tonight, and then we'll continue with the other ones tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Boy, you got me bachama. Shtela Lechem Maushi Yatshiru Shaloka Sidron. So we're saying that the Shtela Lechem is Matir. We're saying that the Shtela Lechem is Matir to be able to bring Menachos from the new grain crop, from Kodesh. Are they matter if it's out of order relative to the growth cycle of the grain? What does that mean? Suppose somebody planted wheat between the Omer and the She'alachem, and now what happens after it was planted, after it took root, first the She'alachem was brought, then the next year Pesach the Omer was brought, but now, so what do we say? Is that grain at that point able to be used for menachos after Pesach? Do we say kesidron shayan shalo kesidron lo shayan? Do we say that maybe the shtei lechem is only maserit for menachos only if it's in order? So the grain took root before the omer, it grew and was harvested sometime after the omer, let's say, or before the omer, doesn't matter. The omer passed, then the shtei lechem passed. Now it becomes mutter to use for menachos. Shaloi kesidron lo shayan. Maybe we would say that if it's out of order, then not. You still have to wait until that year's shtei lechem. Or Joma shaloi kesidron nami shayan. You know, maybe it works even if it's out of order. Shtei lechem, and then the following year, the omer, and then you'd be allowed to use them after the omer. So that's the question.
Does it have to be in order or not?
Or not? Right. Okay.
Does it have to be omer and shtei lechem,
or can it be shtei lechem and omer? Right. Okay. Omer Rabba Toshma. So Rabba says, come, let's bring a proof as follows. The Braisa says like this. The intact of minchas bikurim. The pasuk starts off by saying, if you bring an offer, a mincha bikurim, then I'm sorry, we'll be done. If you bring a mincha bikurim, the minchas ha'omer akasim medaber, the pasuk is talking about the minchas ha'omer. Mehechan bar, what kind of grain do you bring the omer from? Minas ha'omer, you bring it from barley. After omer minas ha'omer, now you're saying it's brought from barley, en el minas chitim, how do you know maybe it's brought from wheat? So how do we know that? Rabbi Yezza says, you know it's barley because like this. Nema oviv b'mitzrayim v'nema oviv l'jodas. This pasuk about the Omer says, if you bring a minchas v'korim, it has to be oviv kol yibo'esh. And we also find the word oviv in Mitzrayim after Makas Barad, where Moshe informed Paroi that the barley was destroyed by the hail because hasa'ora oviv. So therefore, ma oviv or omer mitzrayim sa'orim, just like over there, the word oviv refers to barley that was fully grown, af oviv or omer l'doris sa'orim. The same thing, the oviv that it says for future generations that you have to bring them the omer from has to be barley.
In Mitzrayim, it was just the sa'orim that was destroyed?
No, well, yeah, I mean, the wheat wasn't destroyed, actually, but the point is that we use the word oviv in connection with sa'orim. Because that's how it was. Can we finish? Ask me after. The connection is that it says oviv by both of them. Rabbi Akiva says, I have a different way of learning it. We find by an individual person, sometimes they're required to bring a mincha out of flour, the mincha of a chotah, sometimes from wheat, that is. Sometimes they're required to bring from barley, namely the mincha of a chotah. We know that usually the tzibur brings their required menachos out of wheat flour. Therefore, it must be mevi'en chayvasim min ha'sa'orin. It must be, for parallelism, they must also be a required mincha that they bring from barley. The im ha'sa'omer, bo min ha'chitim. Now, if you're going to think that the mincha ha'sa'omer is brought from wheat, lo mastinu tzibur shemevi chayvasim min ha'sa'orin, then you're never going to have a carbon tzibur out of barley. So necessarily, therefore, never mind the obvious thing, just for that reason alone, we know it has to be barley. The Sota is barley. That's a yachin. Dover Acher continues Rabbi Akiva another explanation, another way of learning it. Imata Omer, Omer, Bominachitin, because if you're going to say that the Omer is brought from wheat, Ein shtei alechem bikurim. Then the shtei alechem, which definitely are brought from wheat, are not going to be bikurim. If the pasuk is calling them bikurim, they have to be the first fruit, the first crop of that year. So obviously, that must be the previous korban was barley, and therefore this one must be wheat. Now, how does that prove the answer to Rami Bachama's question? So he continues, Now, if you're going to tell me, you're asking that maybe this grain that was grown after Pesach and before Shavuot, that maybe the Shtei Alechem are going to be master it, and then the Omer of the following year makes it mutter from Menachos, well then Mashkacha for the Makar of Omer Mehanach, the Ashur Shkodim L'Shtei Alechem, or Vata the Omer Desh Shtakad, then you do have, you can have a scenario where the Shtei Alechem are not going to be the first wheat of that year. Because you're going to have this wheat, you're going to have, the Omer can be brought from, the Omer is being brought from grain that took root before the Shtei Alechem and after the Omer of last year, or Shtei Alechem Mahanach the Ashrish Kodim or Omer Dehashta, or Vosa Shtei Alechem Dehashtakhtem. You can have the Shtei Alechem can end up being brought from grain that took root before the Omer of this year and after the Shtei Alechem of last year. So it won't necessarily be the first grain that's brought, it won't necessarily be the first wheat that's brought as a carbon. So therefore, that should answer the question. Therefore, it wouldn't work. You would still have to wait until after Shavuot. However, the Gemara answers, that's not a proof, because mi sabret bikurim l'peira kamun. You're thinking that when it says that the shtei alechem has to be bikurim, it means as far as the peiros, as far as that it has to be the first wheat of that year. No, the mizbeach kamun. And all we're talking about is that the mizbeach shouldn't have new wheat offered on it before this year. Here we're asking the question that here you're asking the question whether it's going to be mutter b'ha ochel l'mizbeach b'peiri d'ha shasa. In this case, the mizbeach has indeed already consumed the peiros of this year because you already had the shtei alechem were brought during that year. So therefore, maybe that's good enough, and you don't need, and we don't have to wait for another shavuot. So we don't have a proof one way or the other, and so the answer is it's a safek, and you shouldn't bring them. But if you did, then b'diavad it's safek. Now, if you now, I mean, they're going to be down in the matter, but now if you want to ask any questions for clarification, now's the time.